B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
It is the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 Fanatic. I had a little problem finding headphones in the studio, but we got them. And we're ready to rock on a Football Friday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. All right, the Phillies press conference is still going on. Actually, it just ended. And there was so much BS and filibustering in this press conference that I don't know, like, whether my head is still attached to my neck. But these three guys tried to explain what they just did and what the current status of the organization is and who will be the next manager. And you couldn't make heads or tails out of it, which tells you all you need to know about what the Phillies are right now. I don't know how many people listen to the whole thing. I listened to the whole thing. I got absolutely no answers. Except I was left with more questions. And the questions I'm left with is, John Middleton, as the owner, obviously made this call and dangled it out there for a week and a half. For what reason? Now, we're getting tied up in, is the owner undercutting the front office that he hired? And is he a meddling owner? He owns the frickin' team. If I'm the owner of a team and I go, this is not what I want, and it's not what I'm paying for, so the manager has to go, first of all, it should be, that's the way it should be explained to the people. Instead, they go into this, well, we have this collaborative process, and all we do, and we're in touch with each other every day, and we're asking the questions to everybody. My ass! It was obvious that they weren't good enough and a change needed to be made. And the owner knew that, and you knew that, and I knew that, and the entire Philly fan base knew that. So why would he hold his customer hostage and then try to explain it by saying, well, we like to go through this collaborative process? So now they're trying to convince you that they're going through this collaborative process and they don't have an idea on who they're going to manage next? Like, what kind of an organization is this? Now they're just starting. Time went by. The owner knew that he had to fire the guy. He gave lip service to the young general manager, because he didn't want to undercut him. And so now they're just starting to think about who they would want to hire? And they had to go this entire collaborative interview process? What more do you need to know about a Joe Madden? What more do you need to know about a Buck Showalter or a Joe Girardi? You seriously going to tell me you have to go through a collaborative process that these are people that fell from the sky? You are cheating your fan base. Middleton gave the front. I don't know what Andy McPhail does. I got to be honest with you. That's an embarrassing salary that this owner is paying. And John, I will tell you that straight up to your face. You're embarrassing yourself by paying this empty suit money. And he does nothing. If you want to give Klentak another chance, I'm fine with that. if you hired him, you saw something in him, you think he's going to be a really good executive, you want to wait one more year, I'm okay with that. But this nonsense about the manager and how long it took because they had to go through a collaborative process. Good Lord. The general manager made a misjudgment in hiring a manager. Zip zop, cut the cord, move on. The last week and a half should have been spent hiring a new manager instead of wasting everybody's time. All right, I got to get that off my chest. I watched an hour worth of nothing. And the fact that it was nothing is discussable. That's the beauty of this. You had to watch it for an hour to get your steam up to talk about what this organization is right now. They are an unknown zero. Plodding into the night with no night vision goggles. They have no idea what they're doing. All right. It's Football Friday. It's just laughable to me. It's absolutely laughable that they can talk for an hour and say nothing when the simple answer is the owner gets up there, he goes, listen, I got Matt Klentak here. Matt is my general manager. I still believe in him. But in my judgment, the manager that we had didn't do a good enough job. And enough with the collaborative crap and all this stuff. They were 81-81. The executive, who is supposed to be the front man for this organization, said earlier this year, if we make it, not. I don't think we're good enough to beat the Dodgers. Really? The Washington Nationals made some moves at the trade deadline. Yeah, I know they're a better starting pitching rotation than you, but anything can happen. I don't know. The whole thing is just so muddled and weird, the way they do business down there. Tyrone, how are you feeling about the Eagles?
About the Eagles? I feel good about the Eagles.
Oh, you do? You feel good about the Eagles?
I actually do think the Eagles are going to win this game.
You do?
But it's hard for me after what you just mentioned, after watching that, it's hard for me to talk about anything positive. Like, I'm wearing a shirt right now for an organization that knows what it's doing. The Flyers. That's where I'm at right now.
Flyers?
Yes. I'm flying up now.
Oh, okay.
It's now Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, a chasm. And then these Phillies, I can't stand this team now. This hour made me hate this team more than any team in the city, by far. I'm barely a Phillies fan after watching that. But I do think the Eagles are going to win the game in Minnesota, because I really do. I think the Eagles are going to win the game. I think they're going to turn Cousins over, even though he's played well against the Eagles in the past. And I think that the offense will do just enough to win the game in Minnesota. That'll be three straight wins going into Dallas game on Sunday night. So I actually do feel good about the Eagles. The complete opposite about the Phillies.
I don't know. Maybe I don't get the corporate speak. But if I'm John Middleton, the only thing I have is honesty with my fan base. And the honest thing is, listen, Matt Klentak was in total opposition to what I decided to do, which was the cut. I think that's great, and I respect that part of it. In my judgment, the team wasn't good enough under this particular manager, and I'll have to pick another manager. And that kind of honesty would resonate with Philly fans, who thought, by the way, the same exact thing. Whether Gabe Kapler was a good guy, whether he could be a good manager down the road, whatever is meaningless. Whether he was Klentak's the personal guy that he anointed, it's meaningless. He didn't do a good enough job. And in this business, if I determine, since I signed the checks, that he didn't do a good enough job, well, I have the right to make that decision. Now, maybe it comes back and smacks me in the face. I don't know. But in my judgment, because I am the guy who holds this franchise in trust for fans who are my customers, in my judgment, it wasn't good enough. And my general manager, I still believe in him, I think is capable of picking a better manager than the one we had. Questions? Really? I mean, that's an opening statement. Questions. You take about 10 minutes of questions, and you get the hell out of there.
Can you
Green doing a good enough job. I don't want to hear Andy McPhail talk about how my WAR was improved. I don't want to hear stats, these flimsy stats that say over the last month and a half of the season, the bullpen was one of the best in the league. That's all meaningless crap. It wasn't good enough for an entire season.
I was going to ask you, you've been following sports, you've been doing sports as a job for decades. They met after going from 80 and 82 to 81 and 81. They got up there and felt comfortable with that owner sitting there, which is what disturbs me, feeling comfortable bragging about stats. War. They talked about war. You signed Bryce Harper with that man's money. Of course your war went up. You went from Nick Williams to Bryce Harper. Shockingly, you added a lot of war. You added one win, and you felt comfortable with your boss sitting there after going from 80 and 82 to 81 and 81 to talk about war and bullpen. I don't trust the owner anymore, because if I was around you, if I was with you and we were out in public and we just went from 80 and 81 to 81 and I was bragging, you would want to punch me in the face in front of people. These guys have no fear of this guy, you know, if they're going to do that.
There were a lot of good questions at the press conference, but there weren't as many direct questions. Like, I'm watching Klentak sit next to the owner who just did what he didn't want him to do. He fired his handpicked guy. The guy kicked and screamed for a week and a half to try and keep Gabe Kapler. The owner undercut him. I go, hey, Matt, since the owner overruled your baseball judgment, where does that sit now with you still as the general manager with this owner? I want to know that. That's the question I want to know. He just cut your legs out from under you. Is that okay with you? I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about Eagles and Phillies for the rest of the day. This is Football Friday. And, of course, Football Friday has Brian Westbrook coming on board at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about the Eagles-Vikings. We tried like heck to get a Minnesota Viking person who covers the team just to get the inside on what's going on and all that bickering that's going on, the wide receivers and all that stuff. But Minnesota writers are either that provincial or that scared to face Philadelphia Music. I've never seen anything like this in all my years of covering sports, that a media person who is supposed to be detached from the whole thing and can comment supposedly objectively on a particular situation, on questions on the team, feel obligated to be anti-Philadelphia? Or are they just afraid if they say something they're going to get harangued by Philadelphia fans? What is it?
I think it's that if they come on with you and just talk about the Vikings, it'll be look like they're fraternizing with the enemy to the readership.
To the readership.
Because those guys have, they have a...
So the people in Minnesota are that petty.
Yes.
Where...
Yeah, no, they have... Those guys have a visceral hate. It's not the writers themselves. It's that these are my people who, I guess, because they read, they're the guys who pay me, basically, by my readership, by clicks, etc. If I go on in Philadelphia and they find out, they'll be mad at me and they won't read me. Or they'll get hate mail and hate tweets and stuff. Because those Minnesota fans still have a visceral hate for Philadelphia.
You know what? I'm going to take the high road here and say I understand it. Think about living in a state where as soon as it turns to spring, you got about 3 good days and then you're shoveling snow. So I will defer to them. You know, that has a way of working on you after a while.
There is still one person who hasn't responded at all. So I'm going to hope that the person that didn't respond at all versus just say, right, I can't do it, they call it.
Whatever, we can do the show without them, but I think it's really interesting that the dynamic of Philadelphia being like this big monster, and I don't know, it's kind of weird. Just because the Eagles won a football game in Minnesota, and because what, some people got treated poorly?
Yeah, after they went
and put Keenum's wife, was it? What was it? Did his wife get harangued or something?
A little bit, and then they also put the purple panties on a Rocky statue, and we didn't like that. They did the skull thing, and then we didn't like that.
Yeah, they did a couple things.
Right, before the game, they went to the art museum.
It's not
they
like put the, we were picking on them. They did some things to pick a fight.
Got blown out. And then apparently the coach is still mad that Doug Peterson got to use his office during the Super Bowl week. Well, they beat them, and then you wouldn't have been able to use your office. You'd have used your own office. You lost. Get over it.
All right. I still get it. That was the greatest job of filibustering by three people I've ever seen. They took the microphone and wasted 10 minutes on an answer just to reduce the time of the press conference and reduce the amount of questions. Wow. All right, it's the Mike Misnella Show. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Misnella Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnella Show on a Football Friday. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, just visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street for some quick satisfaction. They're in Philadelphia. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job right there at North 7th Street in Philadelphia. Let's start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Son. If you're a landscaper out there, or if you just somebody who likes to work in the yard with big equipment, check it out at Paul B. Moyer, because you can repower zero turns or walk behind mowers with an engine replacement. Moyer has them in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie Eganoff, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Mike. We have today's poll. How did today's Phillies press conference make you feel about the future of the organization? 14% said better. 86% said worse. So.
Thank you for that. I like those numbers. 86 to 14.
The poll doesn't lie. Those are hard numbers. Those are facts.
Nope.
It's my analysis.
Numbers do not lie.
No, they don't.
Except in the last presidential election. But let's go to... I love to just tweak people. Right? Now people are going to come out of the work.
Uh-huh.
Hey, come up with politics.
Right for it.
All right. I'm sorry. Let's go to TJ in Franklinville to start things off. TJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, TJ?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, TJ?
I noticed... I got a point about the Sixers. I know mm-hmm. they didn't play an NBA team, but I'm excited about Ben Simmons. I just think he needed to see the ball going in a game situation. So I think a lot of people are sleeping on Josh Richardson. So I think they're gonna do big things this year.
I agree. I don't think anybody's sleeping on Josh Richardson. I think he's a very good complimentary part. I know he's not a star player, but he's perfect for a complimentary part on a starting five. Now, as far as Simmons goes. Come on, man.
You got drunk with
an open three to beat the buzzer against the Jung Lang Lions.
I think he just needed to see the ball going. He's not going to be like, you know, mm-hmm. I think he'll have a solid mid-range. And also, this may sound crazy. I think the Jets will give the Cowboys problems this weekend. I'm not saying they'll beat them, but their defense may give that offense some problems.
Who said that earlier? Eric Carabel said it earlier this week that he thought the Jets were going to win the game. Well, whatever. Yeah, I wouldn't bet that, but the Jets stink. Really. they really do. I think it's wishful thinking on your part, bro.
It is. Go Birds.
All right, man. Ben needed to see the ball go in.
Some to that, I think. Hmm?
3-point shot against the Zhaozhong Lung Lions translates to many jumpers.
I don't think it's going to be many jumpers, but it's going to lead to enough jumpers to not get disrespected, okay. Thus making the Sixers a championship team.
I think they're that already. Championship team. Let's go Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, what's up?
What's up? So I did watch that press conference, mm-hmm. and I agree with you. Like, they don't know what they want. I thought that, you know, when they fired Gabe Kapler, have a replacement ready, but, you know, we don't know until we get a coach, until we can get a general manager mm-hmm. At this point. And one thing I wanted to say, I think it was Jim Salisbury asked John Middleton, you know, if he would go over the luxury tax. And John's response was, you know, he wouldn't go over if he was just going to be a second wild card team. Like, do you think in his mind he's going to go to the World Series next year? Or do you think he's just going to be that good to be a second wild card team?
I don't know. they're so far away from being a good team in this division now. You know, the three teams, maybe even four. The three teams, the Nationals, the Braves, and the Mets, even, I think, are a little better than the Phillies. The Mets only because of their starting rotation. So they need so much. But the most compelling part of that press conference to me was the owner overruled the general manager after taking like a week and a half to think about it. Now, how does that sit with the general manager? I didn't find that out in this press conference. Yeah. To me, that's the fundamental question.
And they went around the bush. Like, you know, who are you looking for?
It should be direct question. Hey, Matt, did you agree with the decision that John apparently made to fire Gabe Kapler? No, I can't say that I did. Well, then, how do you feel about your status as a front office leader?
Yeah.
Like, that's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, like, all they said was, oh, well, you know, we'll get
it. It's a collaborative effort. My ass is a collaborative effort. The guy just fired a guy you lobbied for to keep the job for a week and a half.
Yeah.
How do you feel? How could you serve now in that capacity? And has that made you change your mind about your ability to assess?
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, the guy had to sit there and take it, Klintak. I get it. But you can get a little something out of him that would reveal what's going on now with this whole thing. Middleton allowed him to keep his job. How do you feel about keeping your job once the guy just took away your guy? And it wasn't like at the end of the year you gave it up and said, you know what, John, I made a mistake. We finished 500. The manager's got to go. He fought for a week and a half to keep the guy. That's what this whole thing was about. And all of a sudden, the decision turns out. So how does that sit now with a front office that's supposed to create an organization and a team? How's that, like, how's it happen?
How are they supposed to move forward in decision-making?
I don't know.
At all?
I really don't know. Now, he's going to let him pick another manager, in which case he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to kiss the boo-boo and move on, Klintak. But it's like, I wanted to put him on the spot. You just argued for a week and a half. You kept your owner at bay for a week and a half from really cutting the cord. Finally, he decided, he woke up one day and said, now it's time to do it. I've listened enough, and my decision is still my decision, which it was that after the last game of the season, we didn't do a good enough job, and somebody's got to pay for that. And it's got to be the manager, because that happens all the time. But after a week and a half, he still did it. What's Klintak's reaction to that? I didn't get that. Did you get that in the press conference?
I didn't. And what was odd was he made it clear that the GM made it clear he was fighting for him. That was clear. So then,
and in fact, he gave a testimonial to him in the press conference,
which I thought was inappropriate as well. This is what makes me wonder about this CEO, because you guys got to get on that same page about that before you step out there. And this is all he had to say. Because then people started asking about analytics and all that other stuff. This is what you say to me, and I don't think I'm the most savvy human being on earth. We all agree about our approach. Where we disagreed was the person who was executing the approach. We're all going to come together and find a new person who can execute our approach. But now, I don't know, do they disagree just on Gabe?
What is their approach? See, this nonsense about approach.
And, well, they kept talking about approach.
Yeah, their approach and their collaborative effort. And they make the thing too complicated. It's too complicated. When you got too many people sitting around and tell, well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? There's got to be a guy who goes, I think this. Shut the hell up.
Well, there was none of that. And then I don't know what McPhail does. Honestly, after McPhail mentioned that wins above replacement, if I'm the owner, I would have turned to my left and said, I hate to do this in front of people. I'm firing you right here. How is that supposed to make me feel better as a fan? When you do these press conferences, it's for the fans. The media then takes it and they shove it out to the fans. It's for us. How am I supposed to feel better after going 81-81 and they're being 20-36 the last 2 years in September, how am I supposed to feel better as a fan because he says they added a lot of war?
See, Klentak, instead of talking circles, could have easily come out and also did the honest thing and said something like this. Like, he could have called Cap. Listen, Cap, I love you. I don't like what this guy's doing. It's not my choice. I'm a first-time general manager. I got to defer to the owner. Obviously, you understand that, right? Cap goes, yeah, sure. I understand that, Matt. He goes, so what I'm going to say tomorrow is that it was time to move on from you. Because that's the most honest thing I can do here, right? Instead of leaving this gap open where our front office looks ridiculous, he should come out. He should have came out and said, I think the world of Cap, and I think that one day he's going to be a really good manager. It just didn't happen to work out here for whatever reason. Maybe I'm responsible. I didn't give him enough good players. For whatever reason it was, it didn't work out here, and it was time to make a change. Now, that would have given your fan base at least an idea that you're on the same page and you want to improve things. Instead, it was like spiraling around and going this way, going that way. And he gets a testimonial of Kapler without saying that he agreed with the owner.
I guess
it's ridiculous how they create that. Isn't there a PR guy that could come in and go, listen, here's how we got to handle this. Because we're going to look stupid if we don't handle it this way. So, Matt, you got to bite the bullet and say you agree with the owner's decision. Let's go on the same page here so we don't leave our fan base sticking their fingers in their ear digging for wax. Whatever that means. I don't even
know
what that means. It just
I didn't know what they meant either. And what was that soliloquy about the San Francisco Giants changing their approach? Why do I care about how San Francisco Giants, after the one World Series, changed their approach?
This is the whole point of people that run organizations that think they're talking to stupid people.
Well, that's why I don't think that they know what their approach is.
And that's why.
Because they're projecting that. If they're like, well, San Fran changed their approach. Okay, so what does that have to do with us?
That's why more and more it looks like Gabe kind of got screwed. They should all be gone. It should be fresh start.
Exactly.
That was garbage what they presented to us,
Middleton,
badly.
Yeah, if Middleton wants an old school approach, they need to decide what approach they want, because if Klentak's going to fall on the sword for Gabe and Gabe still gets let go and he's still falling on the sword for him publicly, sitting next to the owner who doesn't necessarily agree with him, how does that bode well for the future?
Right, how am I supposed to feel comfortable? You still talking about this guy, he's gone. It's like a guy, she broke up with you. Move on. God, he's still talking about, but her hair smells so good. Stop.
That's where a PR person has to come in.
Yeah.
Fellas, we can't have three different stories here. Seriously, we got to consolidate our stories. They got to save face. Who are you going to offend here? Gabe Kapler? Sorry. We're going to offend him. He's going to get paid next year on a contract, right? Can't even offend him. We got to move on. We got customers we got to satisfy. Let's go, Eric in Long Island. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
My couple of points on the Eagles. You know, this is a part of the schedule we all looked at as daunting when it first came out in April. I didn't bother to call you last week before the Jet game. I mean, there really wasn't much to that. Let me just say this about this game coming up. Fletcher Cox, this has got to be his best game so far. He's going to have to create some havoc in there. I understand there's no Jernigan or Jackson on, next to him, but he's going to have to really get the Cousins with some help from the DNs, because you cannot allow Cousins to sit back there and pitch and catch with a guy like Steelen and Diggs, get open in the middle against that secondary. If that happens, it's going to be a long day. And Steelen's got a habit of making that, possible, because I think he's a tremendous wide receiver. And as far as the Eagles go going forward, Mike, big picture, I got a question for you. I've been down on the secondary as just about anybody has been here. All right, but, it doesn't look like Jalen Ramsey's coming. It's been pretty quiet on that front. You don't really hear too much about Chris Harris. But my big concern right now is if the Eagles don't get a healthy DeSean Jackson back, and even if he comes back next week against the Cowboys or maybe the week after that, you just don't know what you're going to get out of the guy. We don't even know what kind of injury he's nursing, soft tissue or not. If you're Howie Roseman and the trade deadline's 10/29, a couple of weeks, what's your biggest pressing need right now? Is it an additional corner for the secondary, or is it another wide receiver that can stretch the field? I'm going back and forth in my mind thinking about what they need.
It's a really good question, Eric, and it's not outlandish to think that they could use a wide receiver like that as much as they could use a cornerback, because I don't think that we're going to see the best of DeSean Jackson. I just have that feeling. Even if he comes back, we're not going to see the best of DeSean Jackson. Too much time has gone by with this thing now, where I can't expect that we can go back to the start and say, oh, look at this. We have Deshaun now stretching the field. So you're right about that. And they're going to have to figure that out.
Now, do you give up a second round pick or potentially for an A.J. Green? I don't. I think the guy is kind of shot at his age, 32, 33.
He is shot. Well, my question to you is, who's a burner that you're going to be able to get? Like, who gives up a burner? Who gives up a good corner and who gives up a burner?
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I don't know if those guys are out there right now.
You know who's out there? The Golden Tates of the world. And that's not going to be good enough. So, I don't know. Can they do it without a healthy Deshaun? I guess it's possible. I mean, I don't know. The defense will have to take a big leap up, but they probably can do it without Deshaun.
What you probably have to find is a one-dimensional guy who's fast but doesn't do all the things that Deshaun does. Like, you probably can find a guy, or the other thing is maybe you actually give some playing time to one of the guys you have that's just fast. But that you could do. Like a Torrey Smith-level guy, you can find more than a Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You remember they thought they had that Bryce Treggs guy. They kept talking about how fast he was. He wasn't worth a hill of beans.
Right, but Torrey Smith wasn't as good as Deshaun, but you won a Super Bowl with him because he did provide that element. There's guys in that Torrey Smith level who's in between a guy who doesn't belong in the league and a superstar. They might be able to use a fourth-round pick to get a guy like that. You just have to find him. A guy who's quick, but he's not elite because they won a Super Bowl with a quick guy who wasn't elite. You can find that guy. Torrey Smith, you can find. You can't find another Deshaun. They're not available. But a Torrey Smith might be. I really think a Torrey Smith level could be.
They also won that with an Alshon who was a lot better than he is now.
Yeah, but you got Goddard.
To me, looks weary.
He might, but I also wonder if he doesn't have space because he had space partially because Torrey Smith was taking it deep.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see. I'm not as enthusiastic about that as you are here. So I'm looking at a team that's going to have to win an unexpected game in the playoffs on the road. Kevin in Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
First time, long time. I got to get some stuff off my chest about this press conference, man. First of all, if you're one of the top managerial candidates, are you not just getting in your car and driving the other way and not coming anywhere near this place?
Well, not unless you get, like, if the owner steps in and goes, you got a Tommy. I've already cut the legs off my GM. So, like, if we're going to hire an experienced manager, obviously I'm not going to have you, like, defer to him. Like, that's a decision that will come with whoever they hire. Like, if they're going to say, no, we're not going to hire Joe Madden because he's going to undercut Matt Klentak, you think Middleton would say that?
I don't know. All I know is I felt like I was listening to an NBA lecture more than I was listening to a press conference about a baseball team. I never felt like I was so talked down to.
Well, it was mind-boggling how they filibustered. It went on and on and on with no information. It was crazy.
I mean, I kind of feel bad for Klentak. It's like, you know, are you just collecting a paycheck at this point? Like, do you have any autonomy to do anything?
Wouldn't you just take the paycheck? I can't blame him. This is his first time as a general manager. I put up with an owner's decision to keep my job for a little bit because I got 1 year to do something different. It's going to be a lot better than what I did. Anything he does next year has to be an improvement to what happened this year, right?
I guess you're right.
Yeah, so he's in a position now, if you're an experienced general manager and the owner does that to you, then you got to go.
Yeah, I just felt like all the confidence I had in Middleton before today is just gone. Absolutely gone.
Yeah, he could have been, he allowed himself to get stretched out when he knew, like we all did. Listen, you don't have to be a baseball expert to look at that season and go, somebody's got to get clipped. And the easiest thing to do is you clip the manager and at least you give your fan base a fresh approach. Because, you know, I knew all along he wasn't going to get the front office out of there. He's not that type of guy to jump down on that decision. Because he had committed more to that decision than he did to the manager. So at the end, when he shook Gabe Kapler's hand, he had to have the thought, like we all did, that that's the last time we'll see Gabe Kapler in the dugout. So how it went on a week and a half that he listened to Klentak beg and scream to keep the guy was distasteful to me. It was. Because there's a fine line between an owner who meddles and an owner who does the right thing. And the right thing isn't listening to a guy kick and scream for a guy that you know should be fired. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Mike Missinelli Show. In my never-ending quest to bring the fan base to listen to this radio station as much information as I can through my personal questions, I have put a personal request in to have John Middleton on the show, and I have been informed that they are currently in a meeting. John, Matt, and Andy are currently in a meeting discussing, no doubt, how they blew a one-hour press conference. And she said, not sure how long the meeting will go. I'm guessing the meeting will go till 6:01.
Probably.
But I'm trying.
I would be willing to bet that they're watching the show, though.
You think so?
Yeah, because when you do that, then you get into the meeting, you turn the TV on, and you hear the reaction.
Oh, all right. So they're watching right now in their meeting?
Yes.
What's up, fellas? How's it going? Nice job. All right. It's Football Friday, right? And Football Friday is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. Brian coming back at 4 o'clock. Brian Westbrook. So we'll do the locks of the week then. And in this little tidbit was dropped by Bob Nightingale. Friends close to Curt Schilling, which I no longer include myself as one, apparently. I think he blocked me. Say that he would love to get back into the game and has significant interest in interviewing for the Phillies managerial opening and or the Red Sox pitching coach job. So he's going right to the managerial opening here.
He confirmed it himself on Twitter.
He did?
Yes, he said yes.
So he's lobbying for the manager job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, recently he was going to run for Congress. And now I guess he didn't get the funding. So here we go with the baseball again. Because he was done with baseball and was going to run for Congress like 3 weeks ago. Somebody must have said no. On the cash.
Huh. So why wouldn't he want the Phillies pitching coach job? Why is it the Red Sox pitching coach job?
Red Sox doesn't have an opening for manager. They're not getting rid of their manager.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he say, I'm interested in interviewing the Phillies managerial opening and pitching coach job? Or pitching coach job?
I don't know.
Because he would only move here if he got the bigger job. See, he doesn't have to move. He got the Red Sox job.
Oh, okay. Well, either way.
The pitching coach job wouldn't be big enough for him to move to Philadelphia.
That's kind of fraudulent, isn't it?
I would see, like, if Schilling was the manager, I could see that he would actually get funding to build a locker room wall where the Latino players would be on one side. That's good.
You know, I've been tongue-in-cheek about not being a Phillies fan anymore.
Well, the first thing we're going to do here, in addition to building the bullpen, we're going to build a wall in the clubhouse.
If they hired him, I literally would not root for the Phillies anymore.
Really?
Yeah, if he was hired, like, I just joke around. Like, obviously, I'm a Phillies fan still, even though they're fourth. If they hired him, I would straight pick another team.
And he'd say that there are good people on both sides of this locker room, but we're going to have, you know, the other people on the side of the wall, we're going to build a wall.
So he tweeted out, getting to October is first and foremost a talent thing. Phillies have the talent. Second and just important is a mindset and work ethic thing. Have to show the players what it means and how it's done.
Yeah, Kurt, they don't have the talent, Holmes. I don't know, you know, maybe they didn't go up there and tell you. But the fact is, they don't have the talent here. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
First of all, I want to congratulate y'all on 10 years at the show. I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday, so I just want to say congratulations.
Thanks, Chuck.
I've been listening to y'all for 3 years now, and I listen to you guys daily. I mean, people think I'm even crazy. They're like, that's all you listen to? Yeah, that's all I listen to. It's pretty amazing. So I've even got my wife listening to you now because of your political and whatever it is, your political views and the way you do. I said, man, you got to listen to him. The guy.
I mean, political views. I just go for right over wrong. That's not, if that's a political view, I don't know when that happened.
Well,
when that could become a political view.
I like the truth that it seems to come out, and I like the way you observe things. And I just, you know, I even got my wife listening to you now.
I'm a truth seeker, Chuck. That's all I am.
That's all I am. Nothing but the truth. Hey, can I give a quick shout out?
No. No, no shout out.
Okay.
Okay. What do you want to talk about, the Eagles and Vikings?
I just wanted to say that I think that Malcolm Jenkins and Butch Cox need to show up. I haven't really heard a lot out of Malcolm Jenkins this year, so. You know, everybody's knocking on everybody else. I know he's doing his job.
That's an interesting question.
I need a little bit more.
It's really an interesting question. Malcolm Jenkins, we don't really talk about it. Is he playing well or not? He's playing all right?
He's covering up.
You don't ever hear his name.
Yeah, well, you don't hear his name, but maybe that's good. It's like an umpire.
I know.
You know, you don't mention an umpire. He's doing a good job.
But I feel like him being the big team leader, the big guy and everything in the backfield and everything. I know the other guys are playing poorly, but I feel like he's always been able to come up and do his thing and manage to make everybody just a little bit better. And maybe it's his age. I'm not sure, but I really think that in the next few years, just not today, but we need to start really thinking about just revamping the whole thing. Just be done with it, move on with these injury prone guys. And just, I know it's hard and I know it's going to be a rough road, but you know, I know we want to win in the next 2 to 3 years, and I just don't see it happening without a good secondary. And, you know, when you got Thielen and Diggs going up against him, and the only thing we're talking about is getting
ready. We'll see. Like I said, if they get pressure on this quarterback, he gives it up. Now, there are some really good stats that favor Kirk Cousins that I was not aware of against the Eagles. He's played pretty well against the Eagles. He's got good numbers against the Eagles.
Yeah, now, some of that was Chip Kelly.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that was Chip Kelly, actually. So,
well, we'll see what's up. MC Sports Philly's on in the meeting?
Sure, for sure. I'm 100% sure.
Just want to say what's up to John, Matt, and Andy. Fellas.
Good guys. They had a nice
things
day.
Things will be all right. Things will be all right. You get this day out of your system, things will be fine. All right, 610-632-0975, Mike Misnelli Show, 3 o'clock hour already? Wow, we whizzed through that first hour. Your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.